What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the Shock Factor Podcast, where this week we have a very exciting one. We are going to be joined by the Winthrop Eagle. That's right, we are hearing from Riley Huge, who over the weekend against the University of Maine pitched 7.2 innings while only surrendering one hit, two walks, zero earned runs, and striking out 20 batters. It was an insane performance. So we'll get to hear from him about what went into that performance, how he found success on the mound, and really about how his college journey has led him to Winthrop, because he didn't start off there, but he got his foot in the door and it certainly worked out well for him. Then later on in the episode, we're going to get into a new segment, an exciting segment, because as you may know, if you listen to The Shock Factor, and you listen to me and my friends Jake and Jordan talk about college baseball and talk about guys we like, then you know Hayden Schott has really jumped onto the scene, the Texas A&M Aggie left fielder. Of course, he's having success on the ball field. That's good. That's great. But more importantly than that, on Twitter after games, he has been going off, just sharing highlights of his teammates, critiquing them, showing signs of where they can improve, and really just offering his best guidance to them, which I really think is honorable. But he does it in a very funny way, and he's a great follow on Twitter. So we had to get Hayden Schott on here for a new segment we are calling The Schott Factor, where he's going to sporadically come on and update us on what's going on with the Texas A&M Aggies and just kind of give us an inside look into their locker room, into their dugout, into what makes the Texas A&M Aggies tick. So it's going to be a lot of fun. This first episode will be more of an introduction to Hayden Schott because his college baseball journey is crazy in its own right. You know, he started off at a JUCO, went to Columbia, grad transferred to Texas A&M, and now we see him balling out there. So his story is really cool. You're going to want to stay tuned for it. And then at the end of the episode, I will be going over three of the series that I am most looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be a really fun episode. Our guests are awesome, so make sure to stay tuned. We'll have all that and more coming right up on the Shock Factor Podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. Have you heard of the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core Baseball Bat by Soldier Sports? This isn't just any bat, it's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors. This is thanks to its infused alloy technology that allows an ultra-big, ultra-hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the mishits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it, in my opinion, to be swinging the top-scoring BB Core bat ever. They're selling out fast, though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. And now back to the action. We're starting off in a big way, not a small way, not a medium way, not a large way, a huge way, with Riley Huge from the Winthrop Eagles. Riley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Now, you had an insane performance this weekend, and if I said that last week, it still would have been true, because against Toledo, you went 7 innings, struck out 13 guys, and I'm sure you're sitting back thinking, wow, that was a really good outing. And last weekend against Maine, you strike out 20 guys in 7.2. I believe Toledo was 7. I might have just said 7.2. So the points is where I get a little distracted. But these have been two of your biggest outings to date. What would you say has been a difference in these two opposed to other outings you've had?
For the most part, just being able to land all the pitches and being able to execute them at the right times, such as like two strike pitches and like elevated fastballs.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you, it looks like every time you're out on the mound, you're kind of just doing what you like to do. Like, you look so comfortable out there. Like, even when runners get on base, it seems like nothing really phases you. What kind of goes into that approach you have?
I would say all during the fall and early spring before the season started, we would always have these situations where we would have guys just be on base before our inning would start. And whether it be just like a bunt situation, there's always somebody on base. So I always got to keep an eye on it. But I just, we just did that over and over and over again. So it got pretty normal.
Yeah, and those are always tough too because, like, you go out and you go into that outing. It's really hard to have a good day when they're putting runners on, giving them free bases essentially. And so, like, you got to mentally go through the strain of, like, okay, my coach is making our hitters have so much more success off me. It's all fabricated. And so you go through that now, season time. It's like, okay, well, everything's earned. Now I'm ready for this situation. I've been in it where all the guys who are trying to score off me know literally everything about my life. They can chirp me however they want. But now, come season, playing against a bunch of strangers, that's not going to be a problem. Now, for you, do you have a favorite pitch to throw? Like, I know you utilized the breaking ball the most last weekend and it seemed to be most effective, but is there one where you're like, this is the pitch I've worked the most on. It's come the longest, it's developed the most. This is the one I'm proud of.
It would have to be the changeup. Like for a long time, it was like I always said I had a changeup. Like it was the third pitch. I was always kind of working on it. But these last 2 seasons, it's kind of really been like a big part of my game and been able to get a bunch of swings and misses on it.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're talking about with the changeup. I would always throw one changeup in warm-up pitches just in case one of my fastballs didn't really have any steam on it at all, which I remember going to perfect game tournaments in high school and they were like, "Yeah, your changeup was great, 78." And I was like, "That was a fastball." But you know what? My plan worked. So it seems like you've taken your changeup from just a like, hey, I'm gonna throw this in warm-ups, give the hitter something to think about. Now it's like an actual pitch. So what would you say has changed in the pitch that got you that confidence in it?
Like I guess when I first figured it out, it was my coach, my pitching coach, he just told me to just to rip a 4 ounce baseball and just kind of throw it as hard as he can as a changeup. And ever since then it kind of clicked. And ever since then it has a little more depth to it and just missing barrels.
Yeah, that's honestly a great way to work on it too, because you're thinking about it. You want that fastball arm speed. Easy way to do that. You give a baseball player any object that's not a baseball. And were you on a radar gun while you were doing this, or was it just
No, it was just in the
like,
outfield.
okay, because I was going to say, you give any baseball player an item that weighs less than a baseball and a radar gun, they're going to throw that sucker fast. I can tell you that much. Now, with Winthrop, your guys' weekend staff has been absolutely shoving. Between you, Reese Lumpkin, and Owen Sarno, you have 5 wins. You're pitching to a combined 2.63 ERA with 72 punch outs. Your staff has been on point. Is there something that has been different about this year's staff opposed to last year's staff, or just changes you've seen in the way you guys have essentially been playing baseball?
I mean, for the most part, it's just everyone kind of got older. It's just a year older, a little more experienced. Obviously, Owen's a freshman. He's just a dog. He's just been growing and growing every outing he's been out there. But no, I'm excited to see Owen grow up and see what he can become for sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to see how good freshmen are these days. It's not fair. I'll say it as an old guy who's washed up watching the game. People shouldn't be moving this fast. They shouldn't be able to move this quickly down the mound or that fluidly, if you ask me. Now, currently in strikeouts, I don't want to bring this up and make you think about it or anything like that, but you're striking out a lot of people. You're striking out more than other people are doing. On the mound, are you trying for the strikeout or are you just trying to locate pitches and the strikeout just kind of happens?
It's a little bit of both. It's like when I look down and I see swing and miss breaking ball or swing and miss changeup or like outside of the zone fastball. Yeah, I want to execute that pitch and face swing. Great. But for the most part, like it was the last 2 weeks, it was like I would just throw it and either they just wouldn't swing or they would swing and miss and it was just like damn, like perfect. Like
That works.
and
Yeah.
we did a
Now,
little walk around the mound and get the ball back and do it again.
yeah, I'll go take my little break, my 15 second break. Pitch clock doesn't matter right now. But no, it sounds like kind of you just look at the pitch and you're like, okay, screw the situation. I'm just going to execute, you know? And That's such a good way of looking at it because I feel like so many times in baseball, the first person to think is often the first person to lose. So if you're a pitcher, I would always try to be like a video game character out there. This is really weird. But I would imagine my pitching coach was playing MLB The Show. I somehow snuck my way into the game, don't know how. And he was just pressing buttons. Like that was the way I always thought of it. So super simplified version of your approach. But from you,
Absolutely.
it sounds like you're just trying to get in the zone and then you end up, you're like, oh, we're in kind of a punch out situation. Well, pitching coach is saying, hey, punch him out. Okay, I'll go do it, you know? So getting to Winthrop, though, of course, you started your college career. Was it at the College of Central Florida? That's as far back as I could find. I didn't know if there was a school before then or not, but what was your recruiting?
So I started at College Central Florida. I got there in the spring of my freshman year. I just took classes over at the Kent State Geauga campus back home. And once I got there in the spring, I was just coming back from Tommy John. So like it was my first year off Tommy John. So obviously you don't want to throw an insane amount of innings first year off. So but I got a good amount of innings, had a good year. And then fast forward to after the season in 2022, summer ball rolls around. I was committed to go to Liberty, but things didn't work out there. So I played summer ball, pitched well at in the Valley on the Winchester Royals, and Winthrop called me up and said, "Hey, how's it going? Let's get something rolling." So.
Yeah, you're doing good. Do good for us now. Now, I did see in my research you spent some time with the Kitiwit Kettleers in the Cape Cod League, which is one of my favorite places I've ever been in my life. The song "Hey Kitiwit" still burned into my mind. Did you have a favorite memory from being up on the Cape?
I would say just I mean when we were in, I got there later in the summer, and when we made it to the playoffs, and it was the first playoff game, and it was a home game, I believe. And just I don't know if I was in the outfield or if I was in the bullpen, but just seeing people emerge from the woods.
It's so weird.
It was, and they were just setting their chairs up. It was one of the cooler things I've ever seen. Because there's just
It's
so many people, just like it's like ants herding to a
I
hill.
like try to describe playing in the Cape, and like I always say it's like backyard baseball, but it's the weirdest thing because like with batting practice, no one is there because it's like people who really just want to enjoy being at a ball field. Like it's for the memories. Like they want to see the players too, but it's not like, hey, let's go watch batting practice. It's not that intense. They're at the beach during batting practice. And then like 3:50 comes around, 3:50 to 4 p.m., the population of Lowell Park like quintuples. It's insane. But no, that's such a, I'm glad you got to play up there, and I'm glad you brought up that answer because I completely forgot that happened. But that was such a cool thing to happen up there. And of course, Hey Kitiwit is playing in the background, just blaring.
Absolutely.
It's you bring that up to anyone who's played up there, they know it's seared in there. Mike Roberts did a great job writing that song,
Wonderful job.
depending on how you define it. But Riley, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. It was a ton of fun to watch you this weekend, and I can't wait to watch you next weekend. And
Absolutely.
I hope nothing but continued success for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. Riley Huge from the Winthrop Eagles. The kid absolutely shoved last weekend, and I expect him to shove again this weekend and the weekend after that and the weekend after that. I really love the point where he was making about his changeup, how he said, he used to always say, oh, I have a changeup, but you didn't really have a changeup. I feel like that's something that resonates with a lot of pitchers. But Riley was just amazing on the mound, and I'm excited to watch him throughout the rest of the season, and you should be too. Now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors, and after that, we are going to come back with a brand new and very exciting segment. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. Now Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional, Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life.
We are back after that short break from our sponsors, and we are back not with the Shock Factor podcast. We are back with what we are calling the Shot Factor podcast, because if you listen to the Shock Factor, you know that me and my co-hosts Jake and Jordan have been enamored with the marvelous Hayden Schott's Twitter page, especially following Texas A&M postgame. He has hilarious tweets. If you aren't following him, you should, because he just breaks down the game from a very unique perspective. And I saw that and I was like, I need to talk to this guy on hopefully a weekly basis. So we are joined by Hayden Schott. Hayden, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. Thanks for having me, man. The Shot Factor sounds a lot less cool than Shock Factor, but you know what? We can roll with it. It's good. I'm whatever.
With it. As long as you got the SCHO sound, I feel
yeah, like it's something.
It's a rare sound. I don't know where. Yeah. It's very uncommon, but we couldn't be happier to have you. But
I appreciate
before
it.
We get into it, of course, you will help us out keeping up to date with the Texas A&M Aggies, as you are not only on the team, but also appear to be a bit of a fan of the team. I think I would go.
Yeah. I think that's a good word to say.
Now,
no doubt.
Do you have a favorite player? Like, if you're showing up to the game and you're like, wow, what am I going to wear because I forgot my jersey? Whose jersey would you roll up to the field in?
I think I'd have to go Teddy Burton, our Michigan grad transfer. I know if I put on that jersey, I'm going to get a lot more eyes. I'm going to get a lot. People are going to be like, wow, that's a less attractive Teddy than we remember, but that's fine. I'll still rock with it. And I would love it. I would absolutely love the Teddy attention. I would eat it up.
Well, I think, hey, Teddy's hair got a lot better. You know, I think that's where
yes.
it starts. That's the first. So you aren't looking like a like Mike situation where you put it on, you're getting powers. You're looking at it like, I have these powers already. This is all coming from internal, but the extra attention is just going to amplify it.
Yeah, like give me to like really get my Thanos gauntlet full with all my Infinity Stones. I need that extra X factor. And like Brayden and Tubby hitting home runs, like, yeah. That's cool, but what do we really want? I mean, like fundamentals. We want ground balls. Like that's my Teddy Burt. That's my guy.
Look, it's impossible to rush the defense, put pressure on the defense by running fast to first base with these home runs. So I'm right there.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
I mean, I've never seen someone make an error on a home run.
No, it's impossible. It's also like if we're like these guys have scouts in the stands, and sure, like they might like launch angle, but if I'm a scout, I'm looking at hard 90 times and. I think Brayden and Tubby are averaging like a 10-second home to first right now. That's something where if I'm a scout, that's an X. I'm marking that guy off. And I, granted, these guys are maybe run their ship a little different than I do, and that's okay. But on my team, I consider myself like the Billy Bean. I want guys on first base, not going home to home.
So who is your like ideal baseball player for your team then? Who is it Ted Burton?
Teddy hits tanks. That is terrible. Teddy hits absolute bumps. Teddy has so
no,
much.
That's pop. A good point. I didn't think about the fact that we're talking about someone who just grounds out. So I won't throw Teddy under the bus. I was going based off the Scherzer approach.
Yeah, like give me like a Trey Turner. Give me like a guy who, when he wants to and he's a little tired, like maybe it's Sunday, third game of the weekend, and you're like, all right, I can't really run first that hard. Let me just pop one out of the ballpark. But other than that, he's going to get down the line, and he's going to be gritty and blue-collar. That's what I want out of my guys.
I'm with you, of course, Trey Turner, the former NC State Wolfpack member, just sliding all
That's
over
right.
the MLB. Super fun to watch.
Yeah, good-looking slide, by the way. The slide's home. That's
I mean,
a good-looking slide.
I'm taking it based on the slides alone, but that's a great
Yeah, fair.
That's a great setup. Of course, now you are new. You have transferred into Texas A&M. You're a new guy on the team. You've meshed with the team. It probably feels like to the team. You've been there for a while. Where
yeah.
did you come from? What started your college baseball journey? Let's get into the recruiting process. That's where we'll start.
Okay.
Getting recruited for you in high school, what was that like?
Well, I went to a school in the middle of nowhere in Indiana, actually, a military school called Culver Military Academy. Somehow you wouldn't guess it with his hair or I guess the personality at all, but I did. And I loved it. Had a great time, learned a lot of good values and stuff, which is the boring part. And then I did well in high school, but I was in the middle of nowhere and no one was going to recruit some kid from the middle of a cornfield in Indiana. But I that school did wonders for me. And so I actually went back to California, where I'm originally from, Newport Beach, and went to junior college at Cypress, which obviously is a great, great junior college, great program, sends a lot of kids to Division I, and was there for 2 years. And that's where I really, really found myself. I think I was born to be in JUCO. I really do. I think that's where my personality fits best. I love JUCO. And so I was there, and I was always a good student and stuff. And I was like, hey, if I can blend student with baseball, that'd be ideal. And then that's how Columbia got on my radar, and reached out to them through a former player, and they started recruiting me and got picked up there. Had an absolute ball. Loved New York. Loved Columbia. Absolutely loved it. Great team. Great head coach there. And from there, last year was my final year of eligibility in Ivy League, because Ivy League doesn't allow you to play as a grad student. So that's, I actually started my recruiting process for grad school really early. I mean, I think it was September of last year where I started to look at schools, even though I hadn't even played my season, my final season at Columbia. And I committed to A&M, I believe, in December. And I was still 2 months, 3 months away from opening day for Columbia, which was so odd, but it was honestly great. And my coaches were in full support, but it was awesome because I got to play my final season at Columbia, not worrying about where I was going next. I knew where I was going. I just got to enjoy it. And it was an absolute ball. So, and then I ended up here and somehow in the middle of Texas. And I did not think I would fit in this well, but it definitely feels like home. For sure.
No, it seems like it's worked well. I've never seen any of the guys actually not having a good time when they're around you, other than Jace on the bus, from what it appears. But I understand social media is fake. I know he loves
it. It's completely fake. And the worst part is, like, I'm an old guy now. Like, I need my own seat. I mean, I'm not in a selfish way. You want me to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I gotta stretch these legs out. I gotta take my shoes off. Let the dogs out. I gotta do my own thing on the bus. And Jace Tubby comes over and slides in next to me. I'm like, what are you doing, bud? And then he's like sleeping on me. And it's like no personal awareness at all. It was unbelievable. I don't know how he was raised. He was terrible.
You just got to bring a personal space hula hoop. I'm sure he'll something everybody's got to respect, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, if I'm in someone's space, they break out the old bean-filled hula hoop. I'm like, okay, I understand. Yeah.
You're good. I get the message.
I was in your grill. Now I will not be in your grill. Now, I didn't know that about the Ivy Leagues. Believe it or not, when I was signing up to grad transfer, the Ivy Leagues did not inform me that they didn't want me. I just kind of assumed it was the brain thing. Keeping it But that's really interesting. So you kind of go through the recruiting process while going through fall conditioning and going through all of that. So how did Texas A&M find you? Like, did they just contact you through the portal or? Okay.
Yeah, that was the original. I mean, it was once I entered the portal, I think it was like a week or something later. I got a call. I think it was early. Mike Early was the first one, and then started talking to them, took a visit, fell in love. And I mean, I always wanted to play daytime baseball. I love the Ivy League, but I wanted to play in the SEC and play in the best league to prove I could do it to myself, but also to people around me. And it was just the best fit. I knew the coaching staff here would put me and the team in a position to win a championship. And that's my dream. So that's why I came here.
Definitely. And now you're in, honestly, my favorite position, the perfect position to be in my opinion, where you're an old guy. And I mean that in the best way. I support old guys in college baseball. I think
everybody
should be older.
Yes.
If I'm being honest. Was it unfair that I was 24 years old going against 18-year-olds? Absolutely. Is life
You fair? Do the math. Yeah. 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 What? Right.
Let me do it. I'm going to do it, of course. But in doing this, you're getting older, but you're in the perfect position where you're old, but you're also established, where it's like, hey, you're transferring into the school, but it's like, okay, this guy already knows how to be a winner at the Division I level, which I feel like gives guys a little bit longer of a leash. I was one of those guys where I got recruited to go to Virginia pretty much from playing on the Cape, and they were like, oh, right, this guy, he knows how to pitch. Like, we know he knows how to do it. So
yeah,
he's just kind of going to do his own thing. Do you think you
Do they give you a little bit longer of a leash as one of those more established guys, or do you think it's just because for me, it was a little bit of both the fact that I felt like I had a longer leash, but also in being older, there was less of a care of like, oh, I need to worry about what this guy thinks about me because I know that I can help this team win.
That I think I had I don't know if I think I have a long leash per se. I think there's definitely an experience factor that, I mean, I think Coach Slosh recruits these older guys for a reason. I think he knows they're winners. I think they're proven winners. And I think they're good to have in the clubhouse. And when you mix that with younger guys who are really immature, such as Jace LaViolette and has no feel, that's where you gotta combine some older guys. And that's what we do. And I think that's what Slosh has done with this clubhouse and this locker room, which is elite. And I think it's the perfect recipe for a winning team.
Yeah, and having the teams that, it's the guys who they aren't playing to win. It's just playing to have a good time with their friends because winning is so much more
Totally.
fun than losing. Now I see Jace is walking back and forth in the background. I'm gonna ask you,
No
what's one thing
feel.
you like about Jace? What's one thing you like about him?
What I like about him?
Yeah,
Oh
just
my.
one thing, because there's a lot not to like from what you've said. From what I'm
100%. And
gathering, it's
well, yeah, of course. And there's also every Twitter account that has anything to do with college baseball says everything good about him. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm kidding. I love Tubby very much. He's amazing. I would say my number one favorite thing about Jace, sounds so cliche, but I've just never felt more comfortable having another hitter in a lineup like Jace, if that makes sense. I've never felt like there's a consistent run producer in my lineup like that. I've just never really had been around those guys. And so having that takes the pressure off immensely. Awesome. Because then it's like, okay, if I screw up, fine. Doesn't matter. We have Jace and we have
Yeah, we
Braden.
got
And
this
then
20-year-old
like
ready.
who, yeah, like they can let them do the hard stuff. I'll just kind of like be in the clubhouse and hand out PB&Js or something. I don't know. Like I'm just there to play my role and know my role.
That's a good approach to have, though, honestly. Being the team guy is nothing to be ashamed of. And you're still getting out there, you're still making a difference, you're still making things happen. So, of course, there is self-deprecation in there, but you're still contributing.
Oh, yeah.
Now that we're talking about Texas A&M a little bit, Hayden, I need you to give me your three favorite moments from this weekend with Texas A&M. Of course, you guys had a big weekend, had some big wins in there, but I need to know what were your favorite moments of those wins?
Favorite moment. I think my number one is our freshman Caden Sorrell, who is unbelievably talented. He made that diving catch. I think it was the first game against ASU, and our Twitter just went off with like flying Sorrell memes and stuff, and it was electric. But it was so cool because he is such an elite talent, and I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is. And seeing him make that play, and then literally the next inning, I think, hit an oppo home run in a big league park at age like 18 or whatever, is so stupid and honestly rude. Like, no feel for the other guys on the team. It was unbelievable.
He's standing in the box, and I hardly think he's like, what is 23 and, a couple quarters year old Hayden Schott thinking about me hitting this backside bomb? Is he going to feel old based on the fact of how well I do this and how easily my joints rotate, honestly?
And the answer is yes. He does know that, and he knows that I will feel old. Yeah, if I had that swing, there'd be like a verbal like a verbal outburst of my joints just cracking as I swing, and it's just different for a kid like him. It's just elite. So
You'd just
that
be
was pretty.
reduced to dust.
Yeah, it's just more fluid. I mean, he's got ear. It's rude. But yeah, that was really cool. And then, and I think Braden hitting the grand slam yesterday in our last game was probably one of the coolest home runs ever. I did tweet about the topspin. I don't think it's a good long-term approach. I don't think him hitting 110 mile an hour topspin balls is a good approach. Once again, it's just me, but I don't think it's a long-term approach. And I've tried to talk to him about this. I'm like, hey, bud, like, come on, stay on the ball one time, big fella. But he does this thing, and he might end up with 30 home runs, but I'll always have that in the back of my head. Like, hey, what's your approach, big guy? Come on.
I think what he's doing is he's trying to get it trendy to top spin the ball. I think that's yes. what he's doing. That way, when he gets on the mound, everyone in the box is like, well, what's this guy do against us? He top spins. We'll top spin as well. He's yeah. getting ground outs. He's playing chess, not checkers, so to say.
100%. 100%.
Top spinning at about 450 feet. That'll help, though. That'll certainly
It was,
help.
In all seriousness, it was probably, and I was on deck. So I like kind of as he hit it, kind of walked behind so I get a better view of it. And it was probably one of the most insane hits I've ever seen in my life. And it was just, he was the player of the weekend in the whole entire tournament. And it was just sick to see him cap it off with that. It was pretty badass, man. Yeah.
And especially how loud home runs are when you're in an environment.
Like oh, yeah.
Where like, yeah. you know, there's people there, but it's not necessarily a packed house. They aren't absorbing yeah. the sound. There's reverb.
100%. It was so dang. Even like a ground ball, like it's so loud there. It's unbelievable. And I had a lot of ground balls, so I got to hear a lot of loud noises, which was great.
You're up close and personal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the balls were 40 feet in front of me, so I yeah. It
was hey, great. But hey, was there a hard 90 involved? Probably.
Always is. Probably. There always is. Is it hard as far as speed goes? No, but it was a hard 90. I really worked my tail off getting down the line.
It what sounds like it was difficult. You had Jace jamming you up on the bus. The joints are already naturally fighting a war with gravity, as we all are.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. It was the bus ride. I had a built-in excuse all weekend. It was that.
Yeah, it's. I got it. I feel like for you, the amount of effort level given in a hard 90 can be equated to the amount of knee clicks and pops. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and like how quickly I go to the trainer after I get back in the dugout. Like if it's like less than 10 seconds, you know I really was working my butt off.
That guy was motoring. You see yeah. him not go to the trainer. You see a lot of scouts just crossing it off.
That's the difference. They see me go to the trainer after a 90. They know that I want it. They know I wanted that.
Yeah. So, is this a bad thing that he's hurt after 90 feet? No. This is
no, crazy. That's neither here nor there. Like, come on. I mean, let's talk about the intangibles, right? I mean,
injuries just mean you care, you know?
Yeah, that's my, yeah, 100%.
There. That's 100%. My hot take. I was willing to snap my elbow, you know?
Yeah. I was willing to ruin my elbow from throwing a baseball. You're welcome, coach.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm here to do it. Now, we got one more moment on the list. What's your last favorite moment? Do you have one, or was it just like so much good happening? It's hard to narrow down because there were a lot of highlights. As someone there was, who tweets the highlights, there were a lot.
Yeah. There was a lot. I mean, our pitching was fantastic. There before our second game, or no, it was our first game. It was our night game. Coach Slosh was pacing up and down the dugout doing something. And he was eating a banana. Also, this dude eats more bananas than, like, I think every monkey ever. It's unbelievable. He must never cramp. Yeah, it's incredible. But he's eating one of his like freaking bananas. And me and Teddy are doing our ceremonial pickle shot before the game. And he like comes over and takes a bite of the banana. He goes, you know how bad I want to win? And throws the banana on the ground and like destroys the banana. And I'm looking at Ted. I'm like, does that mean he doesn't want to win? I'm confused. Like, you just wasted a banana. Like, I'm a little lost right now. I don't know if that means you want to win. You don't. I'm a little confused.
I would probably spend the next 9 innings wondering. I wouldn't be able to not ask him. If you could, if I can give you, I know you're busy with being in college and stuff like that, but if I can give you one piece of homework, can you ask him what he meant by that?
Yeah, like, I will.
Explain it just because that's something. Was he, maybe it was like, this is, you want to know how tough I am. Watch me stomp this banana and not slip on it. You know, watch me not have this fear of slipping, fear of tripping, fear of faltering and losing, so to say.
Right.
I'm just going to smash a banana. I don't think he's going that profound. I think he's.
That's a crazy metaphor that honestly, I would be so impressed if he gave me that answer. I'd probably just shut up and like give him a thumbs up and say that was impressive. Like, good job. Yeah. that's good enough for me, coach. Attaboy.
Yeah. It's just, all right. Well, I asked and you answered. So yeah. There we go. Yeah.
This isn't a conversation. That was just a Q&A. Good. All right.
Well, Hayden, it sounds like it was a great weekend. Last question for you concerning the weekend. On your guys' road trips, one of the biggest things for me, judging kind of to determine whether I was going to have a good weekend or not, was who I was getting put in a hotel room with. My senior year after COVID happened, we did rooms based off of who your roommates are. So like who you live with. I lived alone. So I got a room to myself. It's the best year I've ever had playing college.
That's elite.
Baseball. But who's your road roommate?
I was with one of our freshmen, Jet Johnston, this weekend, which was awesome. He also made a sweet play and left on yesterday's game. A really sweet play that he made it look easier than it was. I was with him. It was great. I honestly kind of like being with younger guys and just kind of showing them the ins and outs of tweeting after games and really getting them locked into what's important in life.
Of course. You're talking to the right guy. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, you're welcome for getting rude with me and me showing you the ropes of Twitter. Welcome to it. he was awesome.
As the older guys, you always got to impart that wisdom on the next generation of football players. That way they know that way you can graduate with the peace of mind of like, hey, the game's in good hands. This guy knows how to tweet. He knows how
100%
to game well enough. That way when I'm gone, someone else will be doing it. I'll still
practice. Yeah, like but, yeah. If I'm gone and Tubby's still here, he will take the role of good shaming Tubby for doing good things, which needs to happen. It needs to happen.
It does. It's got to keep him grounded. Got to keep him even keeled. I think he is a better player for it, and you are a good teammate for doing it. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Even if no one else thinks it, I don't care. I think I'm so good. All right.
Look,
all that matters,
man.
Yeah.
That's what being selfless is. It's giving up that fear of judgment, giving up what other people think, and thinking, how can I make Tubby think less? I think you got the right approach from the sounds of it and from the looks of it. It looks like he likes you. He's walked around in the background having a good time, you know, messing with you.
So great.
It's give and take, you know, it seems like
no doubt. Love hate relationship, man.
But Hayden, thank you so much for taking the time to keep us updated on the Texas A&M Aggies and keep us updated on what's going on around, you know, just the college baseball action in College Station.
Oh yeah, baby. I will be glad to do it much as you want. I'm in.
All right, man.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Hayden Schott of the Texas A&M Aggies. The kid is absolutely electric. He's a lot of fun to follow on Twitter, so make sure to follow Hayden Schott on Twitter. But he's an awesome guy. We thank him a ton for taking the time out of his busy baseball schedule to take the time to talk to the Shock Factor podcast and share an inside look to the Texas A&M Aggies. They are a team that is trending upwards. They had a huge win this week against Texas. At Texas, which was really exciting to watch. Just a great baseball matchup. And speaking of great baseball matchups, I want to take you guys to three weekend series I am most looking forward to this weekend to, you know, just follow along with, keep up to date with, and one that I'm even going to. So the first series I am really excited for is going to be Duke heading on over to Wake Forest to take on the number one ranked Demon Deacons. We have the 12th ranked Blue Devils. This is a absolutely hellish matchup. I don't know what a Demon Deacon is. I don't really know what a Blue Devil is, but seeing them battle it out on the baseball field is going to be super exciting, especially for scouts and players and media members alike, because on Friday night, we got Josh Hartle going up against Jonathan Santucci for Duke, and this is just a scout's dream. Two left-handed pitchers that could be going in the first round come June. It's exciting stuff, and I cannot wait for that series. And then, of course, the rest of those teams. I mean, you got Fran O'Shell, you got guys like A.J. Gracia hitting three home runs his first weekend in the first game. It's just insane stuff, so you're going to want to keep an eye on that series. Now, another series I'm really looking forward to is going to be Texas versus Texas Tech. This Texas team is a team that I feel like has been off kilter. They're a really good ball club, but they have not been playing baseball very well. They haven't been playing very cohesively, I would say, to this point in the season. That being said, the Texas team we are seeing in February and early March is certainly not going to be the Texas Longhorn club we see come June and, you know, a little bit beyond or whenever, you know, crunch time of the college baseball season. I expect this Texas team to be really firing on all cylinders. David Pierce does a great job running ball clubs, and he'll do it again this season. Now, the final series I am most looking forward to is the one I'm attending, where I will be attending the Sunday game of the Penn Quakers taking on the College of Charleston. Now, the Quake Show is a team that I have always liked. I've always held them near and dear to my heart ever since Hunter Taubes, their social media manager at the time, decided to tweet at me a bunch when he was running the Penn Baseball Twitter account. And, you know, just building a great relationship and friendship through the Twitterverse. He's one of my online stranger friends where I've never met him. But, you know, my second grade teacher, Miss Hubbard, always told me not to talk to strangers. But you know what, Miss Hubbard? That's how you meet people. And if I didn't talk to strangers on the internet, I wouldn't know how great the Penn baseball team really is. So I'm really excited to see them come on down to the College of Charleston and take on Kevin Madden and Cole Mathis and all their friends. Because, you know, it's two really talented ball clubs going at it. But it's going to be a great weekend of college baseball. I hope wherever you go, there's a really good matchup and you get to see really good college baseball action. Hopefully not a blowout. Unless you really like guys scoring a ton of runs, then hopefully a blowout, you know? But thank you so much for tuning into the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. Make sure to follow the Shock Factor Pod on Twitter so you can stay up to date with all things Shock Factor podcast and college baseball. And thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for making this all possible to have the Shock Factor on the D1 Baseball Podcast Network.